Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Bill Noonan. He's the Senior Vice President of Industry and Governmental Affairs for Boyd Gaming. For the whole show on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm Brad Seidner, and we're keeping the legacy alive here at the Reno Rodeo. Come be a part of the legacy.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Bill Noonan. He is Senior Vice President of Industry and Governmental Affairs for Boyd Gaming. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's always great to see you and be a part of your listening audience.
And you just came back from Carson City. Your thoughts on the session?
I did. I spent a great deal of time in Carson and spent most of the last 10 days of the session up there. And overall, from the standpoint of the Chamber of Commerce, for which I am the 2017 chairman of the Metro Chamber of Commerce, I think we had a pretty good session. We avoided a number of what I would call anti-business bills that could have had an impact on the small businesses of the Metro Chamber. We surveyed our members on a number of the bills, and we found overwhelming opposition to things like minimum wage, paid sick leave, and some of the other what I would call anti-small business bills that cropped up in this year's 79th legislative session.
Isn't minimum wage essentially going to become irrelevant as both ends of the state are booming at this point in time, and getting workers is the hard thing?
Yeah, it already is in a significant way, especially for major employers, because quite honestly, you can't find people for the most part that are willing to work at the minimum wage levels. But where it comes into play in Nevada is the fact that we don't have a tip credit. And so like 43 other states in the country that do. And therefore, we pay 100% of the minimum wage plus the tip rate for any of our tipped class employees. For example, at Boyd Gaming, we have less than 50 of our team members that actually just make minimum wage. The majority make minimum wage plus a tip. And so it puts them well above what the annual minimum wage amount would be. Where it is a problem is for the small employers of the state, where they're bringing in newly trained people that don't have much training and having to pay them a higher wage without the with the lack of skills and necessary prerequisites to do the job. So it depends on where you are at. And I think we could have gotten behind a reasonable minimum wage bill, especially one that might have taken daily overtime, which we have in Nevada, and modified the daily overtime language, or one that gave us some credit for tip credit.
Were you surprised that ESAs played such a, at least public, prominent role in the session?
No, I knew it was we were very engaged in the 2015 legislative session where the education reforms, as well as the funding for those education reforms, was passed. And we knew it was a major priority. For example, Senator Hammond and some of the Senate Republicans. So I wasn't surprised that it you know, it was a big issue in the 2017 session. I was a little surprised on the outcome. I knew the governor would work very hard to get it done, but he just couldn't make it a part of a session-ending deal.
And it was interesting as term limits take more and more control over what happens at the legislature to see how things have changed and how much power the governor truly has beyond the legislators.
Yeah, we all remember the Raggio and the Townsend days and the folks that in the Deeney days. I really date myself, but
me too.
The folks that really knew at the beginning of the session kind of how the end of the session was going to turn out. And those days are long over. It is literally an 11th hour legislative process where you really don't know the true outcome of a lot of those bills till sine die on the very last day of the session.
Yeah, it was really an amazing rush because, you know, everybody laid out their positions very early in the session. And then it just kind of seemed to play along. And then suddenly, boom. In the last 2 weeks, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were a little surprised on some of the bills that made it through, and frankly, the number of vetoes that the governor, I think he's up to 35 or 37 vetoes already. We knew it was going to be fairly significant because there was a lot of those bills out there that we figured the governor was going to have a hard time supporting.
Yes, it was interesting, you know, competing with Jim Gibbons in terms of number of vetoes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about...
But what I think you got to look at, instead of the number of vetoes, are the number of overrides. I think that's the key. I mean, vetoes are one thing, but at the end of the day, it's how many of those bills get overridden in the legislative process. And I think that really shows that the governor gave a lot of thought and a lot of study and made conscious decisions on a lot of those bills, because I think his override record is pretty slim.
And also the makeup of the legislature, nobody having two-thirds majorities in both houses to be able to get that passed. One other thing I wanted to ask you about with the legislative session, it was interesting to see what happened with the bills that would have affected Uber and Lyft and how they were not affected at all. I mean, I think they were pretty stupid pieces of legislation to start with, but how they just went away rapidly.
We've found Uber and Lyft to be a complement to the taxi industry in Las Vegas. We operate a number of casinos and hotel operations that are away from, and a good bit away from, the central core of the Strip. And sometimes it's hard to get cabs out into those areas. So it's complimentary in our case to have Uber and Lyft available for our guests at places like the Suncoast or the Cannery or Samstown, where sometimes it's hard to get a cab out in those neighborhoods. You now have the option of a cab and or Uber or Lyft.
And I thought it was interesting that the head of CES wrote that letter that said, when it, you know, during the Consumer Electronics Show, Uber and Lyft have been a great help in terms of being able to move people around.
Yeah, I know that gentleman, and CES really believes in that, as do a number. I'm on the LVCVA board, and we hear from a lot of the show sponsors that they're used to Uber and Lyft in other cities, and they're the people that come for their shows, you know, just kind of take it for granted that the community is going to have an Uber and Lyft type service.
What do you think about the idea of expanding the monorail to Mandalay Bay so that all the convention centers will be linked?
It's a great idea. Our vice chairman of the LVCBA board is Chuck Bowling, and Chuck actually runs the Mandalay Bay operations, and I've talked to Chuck about it, and he believes it's going to be really complimentary and be a positive thing. And the good news, once you get it over onto that side of the Strip, on, you know, basically the west side of the Strip, then there's other opportunities for the monorail to go even further, maybe even to the proposed site for the Raiders Stadium.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, in the past, people have talked about it being expanded to the airport. But now the conversation seems to be on the light rail that would go from the airport down Maryland and eventually head up in downtown, which would be very good for you guys, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think it will. And I also think it'll be helpful to the new medical plaza, medical park district. I think it'd be very helpful to be able to get people all the way from UNLV up Maryland Parkway into downtown and then on to the medical district. I think it could be very complimentary to moving traffic around the valley.
All right, let's take a break. More with Bill Noonan when we come back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators. From the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bill Noonan. He's the Senior Vice President of Industry and Governmental Affairs for Boyd Gaming. So tell me, the Raiders and Boyd Gaming, it seems to me that this is going to end up like the NFR, although even bigger, in the sense that even if you can't get tickets to the NFR, every hotel has got NFR-related events and able to put on parties, et cetera, et cetera. Is this going to be the plan for Boyd Gaming to just partner up with the Raiders for all different kinds of events?
Well, it'll certainly be complimentary. You know, people will come to town as they do during Super Bowls. Even if they can't get a ticket to the Super Bowl, they just want to be around the action. And I think it'll be a little bit that way with the Raiders. While they're, you know, not everybody in Las Vegas is going to be a Raiders fan, they may be a fan of the team that is playing the Raiders. So it's going to be a good thing for the community. It's going to draw a lot of enthusiasm. It's going to put us even on a bigger nationwide and worldwide map, having two professional sporting teams in the Las Vegas Valley. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be very, very good for the community.
What do you think, though, about tailgating? Because they've got limited parking at the stadium. Where's the tailgating going to be?
Well, they're going to have to work that out. And I've had conversations with chairman of the county commission about that, Steve
Sisolak.
And Steve assures me that that is going to be a priority. They know they need to have tailgating. They're going to look at ride-sharing opportunities from around the valley, maybe park and ride from various lots, vacant lots around the valley, maybe even some, you know, as far away as a mile, 2 miles away from the stadium. So they're going to have to be creative at what they do to come up with parking. I think long-term, they're probably going to have to look at some high-rise parking that goes along with the stadium, because you need to make it a game day experience, and that includes tailgating. So I think that's very important.
Where would you put the parking, the high-rise parking?
Well, they're going to find room on that site or buy maybe some of the adjoining sites to the south. That might be an opportunity for them to, you know, create some additional high-rise parking. But it's going to have to be an issue that gets addressed by the Raiders in the community.
I'm visiting with Mayor Goodman this afternoon. And one of the things I want to talk to her and you about is what's happening in downtown Las Vegas. I mean, it's phenomenal. Could you have imagined that it would be coming back the way it's coming back?
We're excited about downtown Las Vegas. Fremont East, you know, has really been a catalyst, as is the Arts District, for some of the great things that are going on in the redevelopment downtown. I think certainly the Zappos folks deserve a lot of credit for what they've done and the investments that they've made. And downtown has nothing but a very bright future going ahead. And with the major project that Derek Stevens, who is the owner of the Golden Gate and the D, have in mind for downtown, it's just going to make it a greater place to go and a place that people are going to want to come and visit.
He's kind of a one-man redevelopment team.
He is. You put him and Tony Shea and the downtown project together, and they've got a lot of great plans. But that said, Boyd Gaming has three major assets. We continue to reinvest. We just spent several millions of dollars on the California and downtown Las Vegas. We're doing renovations at the Fremont and Main Street Station. So we're a part of the group that really wants to reinvest in downtown.
And for those that may not be aware, you have a huge Hawaiian business in downtown.
We do. We bring four charters a week from Honolulu, full of Hawaiians that like to come and visit downtown. They consider downtown to be the ninth island of the Hawaiian chain, and really enjoy the camaraderie of seeing their friends, being a part of the downtown scene. We cater to that clientele both with room product, food product, and gaming product, so they enjoy the experience when they stay downtown.
Boyd has also been on an expansion since selling their half of the Borgata. So you've got Aliante and other properties that you're now developing in Southern Nevada.
Yeah, we did. We purchased the Aliante and both of the cannery properties, the one up in the north and the one in the south on Boulder Highway. It's been great acquisition for the company. We are now the largest casino operator in North Las Vegas. So we've become quite a partner with the city of North Las Vegas. We talk to them frequently about how we can be a good partner. And also with Nellis Air Force Base, because it's the cannery is so close to Nellis, and we want to make sure we're a good partner with the base as well.
And with the money the state's investing in Apex, that could turn out to be very lucrative as well.
It could. We see really a bright future for North Las Vegas. We enjoy the vision that Mayor Lee has created for that community, and we want to be a part of that vision. And we think the business environment is very healthy up in with all the warehousing and all the other major manufacturing opportunities up at Apex and just to the south of Apex. And we think there's a great opportunity for even some expansion of our assets up in North Las Vegas.
Aliante, I remember when Aliante opened, the freeway wasn't completed. They had yeah. One of your competitors actually had to finish a portion of the freeway to, yep, for people to get there, and there wasn't that much housing there. What is it like now?
More rooftops are building all the time, and what we're seeing is there was a lot of vacancies up there because of the Great Recession and the number of people that either left the community or left their homes. And we're seeing a lot of that inventory dry up, and actually people moving back into those vacant homes. And we see a good growth spurt going on up in North Las Vegas with all the jobs that are being created, the manufacturing facilities that are being started, the new Amazon facility that's going in up there. So we see a really bright future for North Las Vegas.
All right, let's take a break. More with Bill Noonan when we come back.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bill Noonan. He's the Senior Vice President of Industry and Governmental Affairs for Boyd Gaming. With $15 billion worth of projects on the boards for Las Vegas at this point in time, this seems like it's even bigger than the previous boom that we had, yet this one seems more sustainable. Is that your thinking corporately?
Yeah, I agree, and it's more broad-based. It's not just casino expansions. We're talking about convention center expansions, renovations. We're talking about a stadium. We're talking about casino expansions and upgrades. So there's a lot going on in the local community. We're going to wish we had those 100,000+ construction workers back, because I think there's going to be a real boom for the need for all kinds of construction trades to get all these projects off the ground over the next 36 to 48 months.
You know, I talked to Lance Gilman a few years ago on this particular topic. He's the head of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And he said, if the jobs are there, the people will come.
I believe that's correct. I think people can see this stuff because, frankly, it's all funded. This is not pie in the sky. This stuff's going to happen. And just the stadium and the convention center alone, those are going to create a lot of construction jobs and construction jobs for iron workers. Iron workers were drastically impacted by the Great Recession. It's been estimated 70% to 80% of iron workers lost their jobs because there just wasn't big high-rise projects being built. And this is going to make a really big demand for those kind of skilled workers to come back and join our local economy.
2020 is the year that it's all going to happen, right?
Well, 2020 is the stadium. They hope to have it done, and they need to have it done.
I was going
to
say they've
for
been
the
have
opening
it done.
Of the Raiders. But the convention center, while the first expansion of the convention center and the new facility will be open by CES, we hope, in 2020. But then you're going to have the next couple of years, you're going to have renovations to the existing facility that's there today on the east side of Paradise. And that's going to be another couple of years of construction after the expansion.
And we were talking privately, but I'd like you to mention it publicly, about your role in the expansion of the convention center moving forward.
Well, I was fortunate. We had a meeting this week, and I'm the secretary to the board, and our vice chairman was not available. He was out of town traveling, so I was the next highest ranking person. So I had the honor and the historic privilege of making the motion to approve the renovation plan and the funding that goes along with it. So it was a historic moment. It was a unanimous vote by the board, and we're excited to go forward with those projects.
Now, during your time in Carson City, did you get a chance to look at what's happening in Reno and the environs? Because Reno is booming.
Reno is booming, and I will tell you the interesting thing there is the job market. I was talking to several small businesses because of my chamber role, and they were telling me how hard it is to get employees up in those counties, Washoe, Story. It's just difficult to get employees. So there is definitely a job boom up in that area, and they see nothing but bright days ahead, especially with some of the new announcements that have happened even in the last week to 10 days.
Yeah, and Google purchasing 1,200 acres.
Exactly.
You know, I think City Center sits on about 65 acres. Yep. So you can imagine, you know, what kind of project that they could put into there. And there's a 50,000 housing deficit. 50,000 units are going to be needed, and that's without the impact of Google.
I encourage anybody from Southern Nevada to go up and look at the Gigafactory. Just drive around it or near it. It is mammoth in size. You can't really get a good feel for it until you see it. And what a phenomenal facility for Northern Nevada.
And the pad is a mile long and a half mile wide.
Is it really? I wouldn't doubt it. Seeing it on the ground and seeing it by air is pretty impressive.
So that obviously leads me to the question, which I know you're not going to answer, but, you know, Boyd has looked at Northern Nevada in the past for expansion. Is it being discussed at least in the boardrooms?
Oh, we discuss all kinds of opportunities all over the United States, and you never say no to anything, but there's no immediate plans for Boyd to expand into Northern Nevada at this time.
It was interesting. I talked to Anthony Marnell III and talking about his purchase of the Sparks Nugget, and he said that he looked across the entire country for something that would be a good fit for his company, and the Sparks Nugget was the one.
Yeah, I can believe. He's a good operator, and I think he'll do a good job with that property.
And that's where we have to leave it. Bill Noonan, always a pleasure, sir.
Great, Sam. Thanks for the opportunity.
We'll be right back.
I'm Brad Seidner, and we're keeping the legacy alive here at the Reno Rodeo. Come be a part of the legacy.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
You can download podcasts of Nevada Newsmakers free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.